say a reading from the 4th canto. This is chapter 13, text 11 today.
Matvatam jadamam mattam
Matvatam jadamam mattam
Kula vridha samantrinam
Kula vridha samantrinam
Vatsaram bhupatim chakrur
Vatsaram bhupatim chakrur
Yaviyam sam dhamesutam
Yaviyam sam dhamesutam
Matvatam jadamam mattam Vatsaram bhupatim chakrur Yaviyam sam dhamesukham Matvatam jadamun mattam Kula vridha samantrinah Vatsaram bhupatim chakrur Yaviyam sam brahme sutam Matva thinking Tam utkalam Jadam without intelligence Unmattam man Kulavridaha the elderly members of the family Samantrinaha ministers. Vatsaram. Vatsaram. Bhupatim. Ruler of the world. Chakru. They made. Yaviyamsa. Younger. Brahme. Of Brahmi. Sutam. The son. Translation. For this reason, the ministers and all the elderly members of the family thought Utkala to be without intelligence and in fact mad. Thus his younger brother named Vatsara, the son of Dhami, was elevated to the royal throne and he became king of the world. It appears that although there was monarchy, it was not at all an autocracy. There were senior family members and ministers who could make changes and elect the proper person to the throne, although the throne could be occupied only by the royal family. In modern days also, wherever there is monarchy, sometimes ministers and elderly members of the family select one member from the royal family to occupy the throne in preference to another.
Shri Chaitanya Mano Krishnam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamahiyam Yadati Suna Padantitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakam Shri Guru Vishnavam Shri Rupam Sagar Jatam Sahagana Vignatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadavaitam Sadadutam Paridana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Shri Radha Krishna Bhava Sahagana Nalita Shri Vishakhanita Asya Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Desha Tadine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prima Pradayata Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Gaura Krishnaya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpati Gopesh Gopika Kanta Siddhartha Kanta Namostu Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Shila Devinda Dani Krishnaya Sukhe Devi Pranamami Hahitri Virachala Divasanya Mithyaya Parmatma Varakatra Shukha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Tiroti Vachana Mugundangai Teke Yadkripana Vande Shri Guru For this reason, the ministers and all the elderly members of the family thought Utpala to be without intelligence and in fact mad. Thus, his younger brother named Vatsala, the son of Dhoni, was elevated to the royal throne and he became the king of the world. We have been hearing the episode of the great saintly nature of Maharaj Utpala in the previous verses, and here we are hearing today the outcome of the saintly nature of Maharaj Utpala. So we heard how Maharaj Utpala was a Mahabhagavata Krishna, completely absorbed in bhakti, and because of that completely detached from this material world. And you would see everything and everyone, in everything and in everyone you would see the Supreme Lord, and you would see. And here we are seeing that so Maharaj Utpala, he is not made the king, and Maharaj Vatsala is made the king. Is this the outcome of pure devotional service? Who is a loser? Who is a winner? What is success? What is failure? Who is success and who is a failure? That and much more we will be highlighting on the discussion today. We see here there is this wonderful assembly of the senior Vaishnavas, the elderly members of the family and the ministers. And at this juncture of time, at this situation, at this point of time, all of them had come together and taken this cumulative decision. And therefore Prabhupada is talking about that yes, there was monarchy, but it is not one man all in all, and there is no autocracy, as Prabhupada describes.
Everyone has a role, everyone has a share, everyone has value. And that is this culture which we are seeing here. This is the hallmark of Vedic culture. We see this in many episodes in Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in the pastimes of Anga Maharaj, also we see a similar episode. So Anga Maharaj tried his best to train his son. But his son, it seemed, had it seemed that the polarity vector of his son was aligned in the opposite direction actually. And therefore, whichever direction the training force Maharaj Anga was exerting, he was getting trained in the opposite direction. So we see the result of that. Anga Maharaja, trying his best, understood that he has done his duty, and then he left for the forest. So we see this episode there also, like that. Now, an interesting small point to note there actually. Anga Maharaj left for the forest. He was unable to sacrifice his son. He was unable to offer a son. He was unable to offer a son who could rule the world as a service, you know, like that. And that was one of the prime anxieties for a Kshatriya. But being unable to do that, Anga Maharaj continued in his surrender to Krishna. So the point there also comes, what is failure? Who is a failure? Was Anga Maharaj a failure? So he continued his service, you know, by moving on to the forest. And now the Brahmanas, the body of the Brahmanas, when they discussed the vision of the Brahmanas, in that episode we see, when the Brahmanas discussed and when they were announced, he had military strength. And they thought that at least he will set right the miscreants. He will set right, you know, terrorism, decoyotry, thievery and so on. So at least there will be some order in the state and we can try to give a good counsel. So that the other aspect is purified, slowly. So in this way the Brahmanas thought and gave a chance to Maharaj Vena. But as Winston Churchill makes a point that if you want to test the character of a person, give him power. Give him power. Then you can test the fabric of the person, the essence of the person. So Vena Maharaj's atrocities and ruthlessness increased beyond control. So much so that he started charging against the very devotional activities of the Brahmanas themselves. And he was creating obstacles and trying to use his force to stop or to be a hindrance in their devotional activities. Seeing this, the Brahmanas, they simply seized his captain. So the Brahmanas killed him. So there we see that. And then the great transcendental churning started, and then the Maharaj Prishu appeared from the great transcendental genetic journey actually. So in that, Maharaj Prithu appeared actually. We see the similar episode there actually, that this collective assembly of Vaishnavas actually, of devotees coming together and taking the reins and driving. So the point in Vedic culture becomes very clear that there is never a case that there is a single man driving. There is always this collective assembly of the Vaishnavas. It is a collective assembly of the Brahmanas who is driving. So the first point which comes out here quite vividly is that this collective strength is prominently proved when it comes to Kali Yuga. That this collective sangha of the association, this collective sangha is the strength, is the power, which can keep us, which can protect us, which can propel us, which can purify us. It is this collective strength actually, which is powerful. No individual can move mountains, but a collective strength of collective strength of devotees can do that actually. We see this particular principle, we see this particular principle valid, and even if this, we see that this collective strength is what becomes, what gives power actually. Just like, say for example, in research, voluntary research actually, you see there are very less, very powerful, research papers which a single person has published, it is only his research, and he and all in all. There are very few papers like that. In world research magazines or world research journals like Nature, there are very few journals, which a single person has published. Generally, you will see the whole family is there, There are 10 people, sometimes there are 20 people, 8 people, like that. There's a whole family actually, but no single person, And therefore, actually, in research, there is this, dictum which says that actually, how can you test who is more powerful, Who is more, powerful in research? One who has more collaborations. One who has more collaborations. Because, okay, no problem. If I don't know, that's not a problem. But my collaborators know it, I will get the best result. That is the point. Like that. So, collective strength, actually, is the... For example, if you take this modern day area, of artificial intelligence. So now, if you take this area of artificial intelligence, we can see that there is a lot of talk about, we are making computers which can overpower and surpass humans, individual humans. Like that. So, these artificial intelligence based on machine learning algorithms and deep learning algorithms and... So, there is a lot of talk and hype about that. And my first interface to it was that, we heard that, okay, there is a computer and this computer algorithm has, defeated, the world chess champion, And the computer algorithm is defeated, I think it was Garry Kasparov. So the computer, so there was one particular company which had developed this algorithm called as Deep Blue, and then Google acquired, Deep Blue. Actually, now Deep Blue is still there, but it's a part of Google actually. It was the game of Go, AlphaGo. AlphaGo is a much more complicated game than chess. Actually, I don't know much details about it. And it's only thing I know is much the moves and the stakes are much more than chess. Like that. Therefore, the and recently, last year, again the Deep Blue algorithm defeated the world champion of AlphaGo. Like that. And this is considered as a classic, legendary achievement in artificial intelligence. The beating of the Go, AlphaGo champion, world champion of AlphaGo is considered as an artificial intelligence, a legendary achievement actually. This is where they have reached actually. But now, if you try to, so I was quite fascinated, when I, at the first interface with this, this whole concept, like that. But when I actually studied what it is all about, what is this machine learning all about. Then I tried to, so then I could understand what it is all about. So, this machine learning, in a layman's term is what? The machine learning means that there is an existing database, or there is an existing set of the moves which world champions from decades have taken, actually. Given this situation, this is the move they took. Given this situation, this is the move they took. Like that. And all that is fed into the algorithm. The machine learns with data. Then you say, okay, this is the top class data, rating 10, 10 on 10, like that. Then the machine learns, okay, this is top class data, like that. And then, this is not all, the worst moves are also fed. This is the worst move, rating 0, rating 1, rating 2. So the machine learns, okay. This is rating 1, what is called as unsupervised learning, actually. Which means what? That world champions were made to play with it. They were made to play with it, and the machine was losing, and then it was losing. Then it learned, oh, I'm losing, my stakes, my ranking is going down, So the machine learned, okay, that move was a better one. What move I played, what move this man played, and the machine learned. So next time the machine was playing with this man, and the man lost, is a move. This is called unsupervised learning, actually. There are these, So that means, what is this artificial intelligence all about? Which the whole world, there is such a big hype about it, like that. It is simply collective learning of so many human beings. Is it not? You know, on the positive side, on the negative side. It is such a, you know, it is such a set or such a structure of, you know, so many human beings learning is there. How can a single person stand in front of it? Is it not? So that is the power of collective strength, actually. That is the power of collective learning. Even materially, this principle is so valid. That, okay, the people whose learnings are fed into the computer, they may not be, you know, all of them may not be the world champions. They may be a little lower than them. But so many people's learnings coming together, even the world champion cannot face it. So, this is where we see the importance of collective strength, actually. So, we can see one characteristic very prominently in this world, that here, reading about this verse actually, one lesson comes out prominent is the nature of Vedic governance and the nature of vis-a-vis, you can say, modern governance actually. So that aspect becomes very prominent here, like that. So reflecting on modern governance, we can see that modern day governance is more or less a nomenclature game. It all exists in nomenclature. Like we see many times in India, it happens that there is this the government. So there is the party which has got the good amount of votes. There's some 500 seats, suppose. So they have got 220 or 230 seats. They just missed it. The 51% and all the 50% benchmark, actually they just missed it. And then the government has to be a coalition government. Some minority parties, some Nirdaliya Sadasya, the independent candidates, one person here, one person there, or some minority parties having 2 seats, 4 seats, 5 seats and all like that. So we see many times the coalition government actually, so the government is formed, but then actually, many of these independent candidates, they are given posts in the cabinet, so they are given very high posts, like that in the cabinet. And with very easily that government, dismantles. Why? Because these people, they are minority. They have only 5 votes, 10 votes, but they are driving the whole power, And whereas this majority, the person in the name, from the nomenclature, the government is of a particular party, but they have no power. Because the 4 votes are gone, then the government is gone. That. So we see, modern day concepts are actually, modern day concepts are very superficial actually. Where actually there is no value for anybody, for that matter, not to say. There is no value for anybody. So there is an in charge, he is a manager, but then people are not following him. And everybody is waiting when they can surpass him, like that, and therefore it becomes, rather than an execution of responsibility or duty, it becomes a game of holding on to the post of the chair, like that. It becomes a game like that. So this is the modern day world actually, superficial, only in the nomenclature game actually. Just like, only in the nomenclature actually. Just like, so there is no value to any particular individual. Just like, we heard that, this Apple Corporation, Steve Jobs. So he raised it from scratch. He raised the whole company from scratch. And at a given point of time, I had heard that, and he was himself thrown out of the company, and he was loitering around the street, out of Apple Corporation, and he was wondering what to do in life. So he started an animation company called his Pixar, Now Pixar has grown very big. So he said, no, the company just called today and they said that, our projects are going down. So we have to shut down 15% of the people. We have to, lay them off. So you are in the, you may be good, whatever. Maybe, work profile may be okay. But then it comes in the 50% layoff, in that range it is coming. So thank you very much. So they gave him 3 months salary and said, goodbye. And there was so that time there was another devotee was working in the company. Just 2-3 days later, this devotee told that, you know, so they laid out 15 people. You know, they laid out 15 people from the company. And just 3 days later, another devotee working in the same company told me that they have hired 12 more people. It was so ridiculous actually. So what is the point that, so what is the psychology behind, okay, laying off these 15 people and hiring 12 more people? Surely they are not in a financial crisis. Surely there is no financial crisis. So what is the strategy now? The whole strategy was what? You gamble, okay, these people are looking maybe not so productive. According to their expectation, they may be wanting, okay, so the least productive 15%, throw them off. And try more 12, because there is a chance that some of them may be rock stars performers, like that. There is a chance that some of them, may be, better performers. So there is a chance that, the net value may overpower, the net worth out of, the new 12 lot which is being tried upon. Their cumulative measures exceed these 15 people who were laid off. There is a chance. It is also probabilistic. So all you could understand is this is called as gambling on human beings. What else you will call it as? This is so we see this is the modern day concept actually. Nomenclature. Simply nomenclature. A race behind nomenclature. Like that. Just like in IITs we see in India. We see so many professors, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, they work hard into terrific research till the time they get a professor job in IIT. After that, the research is very minimal. So they are peacefully, happily coasting along. Some people enter management, they understand by research nothing much will happen. Let us get things by management, like that. So we see many professors, their career curve is like this. A very high research rate till they join IIT as an assistant professor or till they get promotion of professor. After that, it is, the curve is not that high, like that. So, the person, the nomenclature game is a modern day concept actually. It's like, we have a student's ashram in Kharagpur. So there one time, so we used to have this, for managing. We used to have one of the students who was made as like overall in charge, We used to call it as overall coordinator, the OC, OC. Like that, we used to call him like that. So then, we used to have that kind of concept, that kind of system. Then actually, so generally it used to be a 4th year or 5th year devotee, which is about to pass out, like that. And 4th year or 5th year devotee, which is about to pass out. So one time, I was asking one 2nd year devotee, he just picked up 16 numbers, he just picked up Mangalarati, I asked him, what is your desire? He said, Prabhu, no, I am feeling very sad about death. I said, no, please, no problem, there's nobody around. He said, no, bro, I'm feeling excited about it. I said, okay, you can tell in my ears, I'll close my eyes. So he took some time, and then he told me, I did close my eyes. So he told me, bro, my desire is to become, when I come to 4th year, I should become the OC. That's my desire, like that. That's my desire. By the time he came to 4th year, I changed the system altogether. No single man was for me. So I dissolved the concept of an OC. By the time he came to 5th state, as a modern day concept. Whereas, we see now in contrast the Vedic concept that everyone is deeply valued. Everyone is so powerfully and deeply valued. Here the ministers, they could say that Maharaj Utkala will not be the king. Here the elderly members could say, and many of them may not be having posts and positions that way. So this this concept is so amazing actually, to value each and every individual. Rather, the Shastras even highlight this principle so prominently. Even to extreme degree this principle is highlighted. We see in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra how much he was valuing each and every individual. To lay out an extreme example of this principle, the Lord even valued the statements of a dhobi. That dhobi? He was And that's why the Lord banished Mother Sita. The dobi bit was a dobi. And so the Lord, so he took, even took that, okay, this dobi is pointing some, allegations. So let us have a spotless example. But even valuing such a person's words, actually, that the example should be set properly. So we see that in Shastras. We see that our Acharyas have also done that. And Prabhupada was, now this was an extreme example of Lord Ramachandra. But the principle is highlighted in such a superlative degree so that at least we can learn some lesson from it, so this is the point. We see in Srila Prabhupada's life also. And Prabhupada was publishing the newspaper. And Prabhupada was distributing the newspaper at the price of one cup of tea. And Prabhupada was distributing the newspaper. And then some gentleman came to him with the newspaper. We know the past time. And then he said that, why are you, printing the newspaper? The people will just take it and throw it off. They will not preserve it. Why don't you print books? And Srila Prabhupada took it very seriously. And Prabhupada says that it was my spiritual master speaking through that person. And we don't know who is that gentleman. We just knew he was some gentleman, he spoke something. And what happened to him, did he get to Krishna consciousness? We don't know anything about it. So Prabhupada took even that very seriously. Prabhupada took even that very seriously. This is respect and valuing any given individual, actually. Any given individual. We see that our Acharyas have highlighted this. we see our Acharyas have highlighted this very prominently, actually. So, in this sense, we can understand that in Krishna consciousness, there is no failure. Like we see here, it is in Krishna consciousness, we see there is no failure actually. Now the point comes is the point comes is that our Utkal Maharaj was not a failure. Was not a failure at all. So Shastras are abounding with this depth of insight of respecting and valuing every individual, actually. That is the prominent thing. Therefore, the governance is not of an individual's driving, but it is that collective force which come together and different devotees, different people are taking different roles. Just like a family is going out for a picnic and there is so sometime the father is driving, after that he is tired, the son takes the driving seat. Father relaxes at the back, like that. Then another brother will take the driving seat, like that. And in this way, they can cover a long distance, travel and enjoy the picnic. Is it? So who takes lead, who sits at the back, who relaxes, it is all a unit together, roles rather than posts. That is the thing, that is the point which we can learn here. The other aspect which I think prominently gets highlighted here is the point that in our we see in our spiritual life actually many times actually this question comes that whether what I am doing is it proper or not, is it correct or not, is it going to give good results or not, are the odds oceanic or it can save this group. So that kind of question many times comes. So therefore, the prominent question which always arises at any given point in our life is that what marks a surety? That this is it. If this is there, then it is it. What contributes to surety? That is an important question. That is an important question actually, which gets highlighted. Is it about is it individual strength? Which is the benchmark of surety? Or the strength can be physical strength, the strength can be mental strength, that okay, one is mentally very strong, one is not shaking up and focused. Is that the matrix of surety? Or is it intellectual strength? Is that the matrix of surety? Or is it strength in diplomatic dealings, in moving people? Is that the matrix of surety? What is the matrix of surety? So we see in our own practical spiritual life, that when it comes to an individual, when it comes to an individual, none of these words, life situations, come in such a way that one is completely limited. What to say? We don't need to experience terrible catastrophes, to be able to, we don't need to experience, rather we may not be able to sail through in those situations as well also. But even small troubles and disturbances which come completely jolt us. Like I see for myself, actually, a little bit small disease jolts me, it becomes difficult to continue the service, sadhana, like that. One day night sleep is not proper, we went late in the night. Or one meal of prasad got finished. So it completely jolts actually. So this needs to be very prominently understood, that the matrix of surety is a disposition of ingredient, is like bricks actually. But brick doesn't stay together actually. Which actually binds everything, which binds these individual proclivities, creativity, enthusiasm, hardworking propensity. It binds all that and channelizes it, and we can see a beautiful building coming out actually. So the more we are ready to hear and mold our lives as per the directions, of the Shastras, of the devotees of the Lord. Yeah, we see the Shastra's verdict also comes in one line. But the more we take guidance in our life actually, the moves become more and more sure actually. So therefore we see that in this way, that it is this, therefore what one should be hankering for, what one should be looking out for in his life actually. So rather than so the stable and safe matrix is to look for learning. How can I learn from other Vaishnavas? What I can learn from the experience of other devotees actually. Therefore devotees who are experienced in Krishna consciousness, we give a lot of value to their words actually. Because that is what can save a lot of time for us actually. That is what can reinforce and solidify our steps towards progressive, sure advancement. Now, if we see this episode, one aspect we can understand that extremely speaking, this whole judgment which is taken, this whole aspect which is taken, the whole decision which is taken actually, it appears to be, it can appear to be bewildering from a spiritual and superficial point of view, is it not? Now, if you would have only understood this, gone to this text 11 without going through text 7, 8, 9, 10, so we had gone to text 11, we would have seen that, okay, Maharaj Utkala is not going. So we say, okay, Maharaj Utkala, he was not made the king. Maybe, okay, Maharaj Utkala, he was not made the king. That means, maybe sort of a failure case. That's how the concept of, that's how the image of Maharaj Utkala appears. So he was the elder, but he was not made the king. He was not having that. So he was not at that level to become the king like that. So the immediate superficial point which may come is that, okay, Maharaj Utkala was not perfect. He was, that means, he didn't have a much powerful stature, standing in spiritual advancement, in bhakti. Therefore, now here, Sukadeva Maharaj, Maitreya Muni, they are explaining from beforehand, therefore they previously only explained what is the position of Utkala Maharaj. That this was his Mahabharata position, and because he chose to be completely detached, and he was in that mode, and in that mode he was serving Krishna, in that mode of complete absorption, therefore he was not given the seva of being the king, the younger son, Maharaj Vatsara, was given the soul. So that's what it is explained actually. You know? Now, the question which comes here is that, you know, now it is explained that Maharaj Utkala was ready to offer any kind of devotional service to the Lord. And any kind of devotional service to the Lord. And he was completely engaged in devotional service. So the question which comes is that ruling the kingdom was also an act of devotional service. You know? And his fathers had done that. Dhruva Maharaj himself did it for 36,000 years. As we hear. So not being Mahabharata, so not in his own lineage, you know, he had examples who had done that. So himself being a Mahabharata, why he did not take to that position? Or why he did not take to that role? That is a question actually. So this question actually brings out another instructive principle for us to learn. And the principle is that actually that there are many rights in Krishna consciousness. There are many wonderful things in Krishna consciousness. There are many wonderful ways to please Krishna. It is not just one way or the other way. So here we see Utkal Maharaj has not chosen the path of serving the Lord, being a king and ruling all the citizens. He chose to be absorbed and in that way be an avaduta, and externally appearing to be mad or foolish, as unintelligent, as is explained. But he chose that role to serve the Lord, to please the Lord, being completely absorbed. And he did not choose this particular role of being the king and in that way pleasing the Lord. And we see this example at many places, In many cases in Bhagavatam, and many acharyas have, just like for example the four Kumaras, and Lord Brahma wanted them to be progenitors, but the four Kumaras, they had a different idea of serving the Lord, and they continued with a different idea. And then they continued, and they were perfect in service to the Lord in that way. Whereas, when Swayambhu Manu, he followed the instructions of Brahmaji, and he became progenitor, and Brahmaji very pleased with him. That. So we see this actually, that different Vaishnavas take to different roles like that. So there are many. So now what appears to us as important, or what appears to us as this is the correct path, may be a very small subset of the actual right answers like that. And therefore, to consider our matrix of what is right as all in all is a mistake which one may land up into actually, and therefore become judgmental. So here we may say, okay, Maharaj is a very important and a primordial anxiety which drives their lives actually. Their lives get centered around that. But he didn't took up that role actually. He was just absorbed like that. So here we can learn this powerful lesson actually. That there are many rights, and there will be some rights which don't fit in into our framework or our framework of what is right. So there are many rights, and the right may not fit in our definition of a right like that. But it's alright. So we can never, so this is a very wonderful lesson we can learn here. That we cannot be judgmental towards anyone. Apparently, Vatsala Maharaj may be appearing a winner, like that, he became the king. But if you see now Bhagavatam, Vatsala Maharaj is not described in that much detail as Uttara Maharaj is described. Vatsala Maharaj became the king actually. But then the next verse just talks about the lineage, and then it moves on, to the further dynasty actually. So the zooming we don't see in the life of Vatsala Maharaj, although he became the king. That is, in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, there is no such thing, there is no such one thing which is called as success. What externally appears successful, what externally appears bombastic, it is not the point. So here we see, okay, Vatsal Maharaj became the king. So we may say, okay, Vatsal Maharaj was a rock star, but that doesn't mean Uttar Maharaj was a star. name of Kul Maharajaskar, not like that. So this is the amazing depth of lessons we can learn here actually. So therefore we can see one aspect very prominently actually, that in Krishna consciousness every single devotee has a great value. Every single devotee has a great role to play actually. And every single devotee has a unique role to play. And the more we acknowledge, the more we value and respect, the more stable we will be in our Krishna consciousness. Rather, not only in our applying in our personal life from a personal perspective, but we see that even when it comes to preaching, if we don't apply this principle, it doesn't bring any results. So even when we go for preaching, even when one goes for preaching, the master preaching strategy, which Srila Prabhupada Saraswati speaks, that okay, when we go for preaching, what should one do? And Srila Prabhupada Saraswati makes this point that okay, when one goes for preaching, what should one do actually? He says, Dante Nidhayatra. You put a straw in between your teeth and go and approach the other person and say, my dear sir, you are so intelligent, you are so astute, you are rocking, therefore, add this one more star in your life, be Krishna conscious. Take the Krishna conscious. So that is the matrix. And we see that only when we encourage and fan and glorify and value and give respect to the people, then they grow actually. A person may be chanting, say for example, one round. And if it's only one round, then that one round also stops. You're chanting one round, amazing. So that little bit what he is doing is valued, then he increases from 1 to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16. Similarly, when we give devotees role in Krishna's mission, we have seen actually that when we send young students for preaching, for helping in preaching, they make a lot of mistakes actually. Some blunders, which happen. So in that way, one needs to accommodate and tolerate. When you hand it over, you are trying to engage more people in the service so that the service expands, there is a huge, there is a time period when one has to be tolerant, for a good amount of time. But only when they are valued, they are given a role, we see people grow actually. So this principle of valuing and respecting every single Vaishnava is such an important principle actually. And so therefore, actually, as a devotee, there is no such thing, what we are learning, and there is no such thing that I am successful or he is successful. It is all about that collective togetherness actually. And all of us are playing different roles. Just like we see this in the past times of Srila Prahlad Maharaj as well actually. Now when Lord Narasimhadev was so angry, and the Lord Narasimhadev was ferociously beautiful, and he was so angry, and everyone was trembling, everyone was trembling and vibrating in fear actually. And we see that. And in that disposition, when Mani approached Prahlad Maharaj to go and pacify the Lord, then it was not that Prahlad Maharaj was a hero at this point of time. So we see, Acharya has explained in the purport that Mother Lakshmi, she knew the mood of the Lord, and therefore she didn't step in, and she just said, no, I'm afraid of him. I never seen my husband like that. That's what we hear. But then the mood was that, she knew the mood of the Lord. So therefore she didn't want it to, disrupt the mood. At this point of time, the mood of the Lord was to engage Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj went forward, even not waving his hand like this, is a big rock star now. It was a world screen actually. It's the universal screen, the cosmic screen, is it? But in a very humble way actually, Prahlad Maharaj went forward. And again, when Prahlad Maharaj starts offering his prayers, again we can see this beautiful, wonderful mood actually. And he is actually, thinking in great respect and about all the devotees assembled there, all the demigods assembled there. So Prahlad Maharaj, when he starts his prayers, Brahmadaya Suradhana Munayota Siddha Sadvai Katana Gatayo Vachasapravahi Narati Kumpuru Ne Adunami Kipru Kim Toshitumarati Samehari Ukrajati. And Prahlad Maharaj is making the point that, oh Lord, you are surrounded by all these devatas, these demigods, and they are all such wonderful devotees, and they are all in mode of goodness actually. You know? And they are trying to glorify you, you are not getting pacified. You know? And they are glorifying you with Uttama Shloka, such wonderful, beautiful words actually, and you are not getting glorified. You know? When it comes to me, I am born in the mode of ignorance, in the demoniac blood flowing in my veins. How can I satisfy you? So if you see that mood, so this is the hallmark of a Vaishnava, this is the hallmark of the mood, and you know, this is where we will end our discussion on this note, that yes, as a devotee, you know, one should be a seeker of blessings, Mother Vaishnavas. You know, that is what makes, you know, that is what gives surety and stability and progressive advancement in your lives. We will stop here. Hare Krishna. So if there are any questions, comments we can take. Yes.
What is the meaning of Prabhupada?
What is the meaning of Prabhupada? What is the meaning of Prabhupada? One who is situated at the lotus feet of the Lord, that is what is meaning. One who is situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. So Prabhupada is, you know, eternally residing at the lotus feet of the Lord. You know? So for us, the lotus feet of the Lord, we may not be able to catch. You know? It's like you have to catch the chandelier, you cannot catch. You know? But we catch the lotus feet of Prabhupada, you know? Then we can catch. Then we can get connected and get that mercy. That's all it means. Thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful class. As you know, you have mentioned about taking the advice of the devotees. That would be our surety in successful spiritual life. I mean, we just finished studying the pastime of Guru Maharaj and how he's on his way to the forest. Narada Muni gives him some suggestions prior to mentioning what he needs to do with the forest, and Dhruva Maharaj rejects those instructions, saying that it's not for me. So, you know, in our lives, such a daily lives, we might get instructed in how to perform devotional life, but then, so how would we know when, or should we differentiate between the devotees' advice, or should we just take them literally? How?
Yeah. So one thing is that so one aspect which is important is let us see first in Dhruva Maharaj's life. So it is not that Dhruva Maharaj rejected the instructions of Narada Muni. Why? Because in Bhagavatam, it comes out that now Dhruva Maharaj, he was very happy when he received, being with the association of Narada Muni. You see that Bhagavatam talks about it. And he was looking forward to that association, which means that he was in a state of submissive hearing actually. And when he heard the instructions, the reply Dhruva Maharaj gave was that your instructions are very wonderful. Your instructions are amazing, they're very wonderful in that way. But I am not qualified to take it up. That is what he says. Because he says there is, these instructions are very good for a Brahmana. That for a person of Brahmanical nature, these instructions are wonderful. But there is Kshatriya blood, which is and the verses after that. But then he says, he says to Narada Muni, but you are like a son. That you can absorb all the contaminations in a person's heart. You are all purifying. Your very darshan is very purifying. And there, and he is glorifying Narada Muni. And then he is making the point that therefore you please give me something, understanding my situation. You please give me something which I can follow. So here we see very prominently from this, you know, talk of Dhruva Maharaj, that Dhruva Maharaj considered the words of Narada Muni very seriously. He didn't just, you know, took it as a impractical, Narada Muni outdated concept, outdated, you know, advice, you know, like that, it doesn't fit for me. So he didn't say that. Narada Muni didn't say that. Also, Dhruva Maharaj, his disposition was not like that. He was very deeply wanting, you know, so he considered those words and maybe, you know, simulated those words on his own self. He was seeing that there is, you know, mismatch. And therefore, he humbly went back to Narada Muni and presented, you know, this is my heart, you know, this is inside my heart, there is this vengeance blood for you, now please understand, and these are your words, you know, and it is not fitting in, but you don't give me up, you know, I am taking shelter of you, you are like the sun, you are so wonderful, you know, so you please give me something which I can follow. So this aspect actually is, so this is not, rejecting the advice of Narada Muni like that. Now, when it comes to our lives, you know, it is the test principle which one has to follow, which one has to follow. One thing is that we take advice of devotees who has more experience, we take their advice much more seriously. That is one aspect, that devotees who have more experience in Krishna consciousness, we take their words very seriously. And yes, we do respect to our equals words also. We give respect to one, we give respect to even a junior's word. That is Vishnu principles actually. But then, those who are more senior to us, their advice we take very, very seriously, you know, more seriously like that. And especially those who know us. Who know us, actually. That way. So now, because, one particular individual may not know everything about the other person, therefore there may be some advice which is not exactly applicable and insoluble in our setting, actually. So in that case, it's not that, okay, we are unable to follow. So in that case, what needs to be done? You know, if we see Dhruva Maharaj's behavior, in that case, the learning is what? That, you know, one should, you know, okay, if one wants something, not able to follow that problem. That doesn't mean we just leave it and forget about it. That means one can go back and close the circuitry. The circuitry is closed, the current flows. The current of mercy is like that. We close back the circuitry. And okay, I consider it, I try to follow, and these are the problems which I am facing. Now please suggest what should be done. Should I continue? Should I change? The instruction changes, I change my lifestyle, service priorities change, what should change? Not like that. So that closing back the circuitry is important actually. So that's the meaning of following. Because ultimately for the meaning of following is like we are taking shelter of the vision of seeing, and it's just like, even this, this is a material principle also. Just like, suppose one goes to a doctor, even if it is a famous doctor, many people experience that they are not getting cured, right? Many people experience. Now, if one is not really cured, that doesn't mean immediately one should leave. Like there is a devotee, he changed, 8 doctors in 6 months, he was not getting cured. That is the reason he is not getting cured. So now, even if, one is not getting cured, one can go back and close the loop. That okay, gave this medicine, I tried it, these are the symptoms that are coming in me. Now, what do you have to say? Because even for a doctor, it takes time to understand one particular body, There are many things which can work, many routes which one can go. And you see, 1-2 times, this kind of feedback is given, then, you may be able to understand better and give proper medicine actually. So that principle is even materially applicable. Like that. Yes,
ma'am. What is the meaning of monarch?
What is the meaning of?
Monarch.
Monarch? Oh, monarch is a ruler actually, And monarch is a ruler. And what he does is, So, monarch is a ruler. So, he takes advice from the brahmanas. He's supposed to take advice from the brahmanas and get the vision and execute it. So, he is a king. So, the king and monarch, they are similar terms. Similar to each other. So, we'll start here. Shri Guru Maharaj ki jai.